Standing for the reading of our scripture. This scripture is taken from the account of Matthew of the coming of the Magi. And we see that in Matthew 2 beginning in verse 1. So we will read along as I speak this. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Art, appreciate your work here. And we're certainly praying for Sarah as she recovers from her surgery. I want to say, hi, Sarah. It's good to see your face here on Zoom. And we wish that you could be here in the sanctuary, but we understand that it's very important for you to stay at home. How many of you saw the Bethlehem star on December 21? Yeah, we had this amazing opportunity to see the conjunction of two very far away planets, Jupiter and Saturn. And they came so close to each other, within 0.01 degree of each other. And many people were calling this the Bethlehem star. This is the kind of thing that is a rather rare occurrence. From my readings, I saw that it happens about every 400 years, but you can only actually see it once every 800 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Well, because every 400 years, it's happening, but it's happening during daylight hours, so you can't see that. But in the evening, we could see as we looked out toward the setting sun, and we could see these two planets coming close together. And it was exciting for me to be able to see that, because it reminded me of this story, the Bethlehem star. Today we are going to talk about this beautiful story of the Magi from the East coming to visit Jesus Christ and to worship him and to give him their gifts. There are a lot of characters in this story. The most important character is Jesus Christ. That's the very beginning of this story. Jesus is born in Bethlehem during the time of Herod. Another character in this story, and the wise men from the east came seeking the king of the Jews. The very first question that is posed in the New Testament is the question of these Gentile kings, these Magi. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? My brothers and sisters, it is good to ask questions. Keep on asking questions. If you have questions about faith, keep digging in, and you will find more of Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is the answer to all of life's questions. And Jesus wants to speak into the places of doubt and fear and concern and hopelessness in your life. And he wants you to come, and he wants you to worship him. Well, who are these Magi? Well, they're people who have come from the east. In the Greek of this text, it says they came from the land of the rising sun. So if you're in Judea, that land would be to the east, places like Syria and Persia, even all the way to India and Arabia. Church tradition tells us that these three magi, these three kings, came from individual places, like one came from India, and one came from Arabia, and one came from Persia. I think that's significant for us to understand that these Gentiles came from all these different countries, and in a way they represent us, for we are Gentiles. We are the people who were at first far off, but have been brought into the covenant of the Lord because of his love for us. Yes, he started this with the Jewish people, and he revealed his name to his people, but the intention always was that this news would be for all people. And we are ones who come to worship Jesus Christ and offer our gifts. So these three remarkable men, and we say they're three remarkable men, we believe that they came from a high caste of people in those countries that studied astrology. Now, astrology, as we understand it today, is a little more spooky than astronomy because we think more in terms of a scientific approach. And I do believe that these folks took a scientific approach, but here's something that's interesting. They were looking for the sign beneath the sign. And that is, in essence, what Epiphany is. If you look in your dictionary, because it's Epiphany Sunday today, if you look in your dictionary, you understand that an epiphany is like your eyes are opened to something that you didn't see before. Some revelation, as it were. And these men saw this sign, this conjunction of planets, and some people have said that Jupiter represents a king, and it was in a portion of the sky that was associated with Judea. So they looked at that and they said, a king is born in Judea. And they set off, presumably, from Babylon, and that is an 800-mile journey. If they saw that in the sky and left immediately, it would have taken them about 40 days to get to Jerusalem. Why did they go to Jerusalem? Well, that's the capital city. The temple is there. The king resides there, King Herod. And so they had questions to ask, and they wanted to inquire. So there they are after their long journey, and some people say they came in an entourage. It wasn't just three, and we're not even sure if it was just three. We think it's three because there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it might have been a larger entourage. But they come to Jerusalem, and they ask this wonderful question: where is he who is born King of the Jews? And the first thing that Matthew writes after that is, Herod was very concerned, and all of Jerusalem was in an uproar. What's going on? Because they associated the birth of the king with the coming of the Messiah. So Herod asks the chief priests and the scribes, and these are people who understand the religion of the Jews and understand, of course, the scriptures of the Jewish people, and they come back with an answer and they say, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, because the prophet Micah wrote 700 years ago, Bethlehem, you are by no means the smallest of towns in Judea, for from you will arise a great leader. Now we know originally the great leader that arose from the little town of Bethlehem was David. And the promises throughout the Old Testament scriptures was that someone in the line of David would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be the true king. He would be the everlasting king. He would be the king in David's stead, but he would be the perfect king, the one who didn't make all the mistakes that David made, because he would be God come in the flesh. So all of Jerusalem is in an uproar, and Herod pulls the Magi aside. It says there in the scripture, secretly, surreptitiously maybe even, and he says, go to Bethlehem, and when you find this baby king, tell me all about it so that I too can worship. Now, we know from the story that this guy had no intentions at all of worshiping this king. He saw this king as a threat to his own rulership. He had been placed and his family in kind of like a puppet government by the Romans to administer that region. And he wasn't really a full Jew himself. Part of his family line came from Esau. He was an Edomite. And so he was quite concerned about the legitimacy of his own kingship. And now this true king was coming into the scene, and he did not want to be threatened by this person. And truth be told, Herod was a paranoid man. We know from the stories of historians, especially Josephus, who wrote around this same time, that Herod was kind of crazy. And he certainly was paranoid. In his paranoia, he actually had three of his own sons murdered because he felt threatened by them, like they were going to off him and take the throne. He even had his own wife murdered. Okay, this is a guy who will not stop short in his paranoia of killing his own children. Why should he be concerned about a handful of babies in Bethlehem, right? This evil king, Herod, is juxtaposed to the beautiful king, Jesus, who has come to give you life. Didn't Jesus say, "I have come to give you life and that abundantly"? My prayer for you is that you would experience the abundant life that Jesus has for you as you walk in faith and as you walk in trust and you give him all of your life. This symbolism of these three magi giving gold and frankincense and myrrh is emblematic. It's symbolic of us as Gentiles coming to worship the king and giving our offerings as well. So as we look at this story, we see all sorts of interesting little facts. We see that finally the star reappears. And it rests in some mysterious way over Bethlehem, which incidentally is 6 miles south of the city of Jerusalem. So not a long walk. They can get there pretty quickly. And again, I'm not sure how a celestial event can come and rest in a certain place and somehow point directly over a house where Jesus is with his family. But that is what happened. That is what the scripture says. And when they came to the house and they saw Mary and the baby, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I love that. Because joy is the hallmark of the believer. The scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I pray, my prayer for you as parishioners in this congregation is that in this new year, you may experience the joy of the Lord. And we know that Jesus came and he is the one that has given us joy. And one of the hallmarks of a spirit-filled Christian is joy. Because that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we should be praying more and more every day, Lord, may your Spirit be growing into maturity, the delicious fruit of the Christ-following life. Again, that is my prayer for you, that you will walk in the joy of the Lord. They came with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there have been books written about the significance of these three gifts. Gold, befitting a king. Frankincense, as a symbol of the high priestly prayers that are offered, that come before the throne of God, representing the deity of this baby king, and myrrh, which was traditionally used in embalming, that was pointing perhaps to the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he came into this world as a king, as a conquering king, but that he would have to lay down his life for his sheep. And also, because we know that soon after this, an angel appears to Joseph, the father, in a dream and says, get your family out of here as quickly as you can because Herod is going to try to kill your son. I imagine that Joseph woke up from that dream and grabbed what little possessions that they had and hightailed it out of town right away. Where did they go? The scripture says that they went to Egypt. All the way to Egypt. We don't really know exactly where they landed up in Egypt or exactly how long that they stayed there, because the scripture says they stayed a portion of time in the land of Egypt, and then God appeared to Joseph again in a dream with an angel saying, "The people that are seeking the life of your son Jesus are no longer a threat. Herod had died." So they return. So that Matthew could say, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And that again is kind of a picture of the people of Israel. Remember when they were in captivity for 400 years in the land of Egypt, and God called his son Israel out of the land of Egypt. Over and over again, incidentally, in the book of Matthew, you'll see the author, this disciple Matthew, who was a tax collector, talk about being on the outside and coming in. He writes about how Jesus is the better Israel, the one that would fulfill the things that God had always intended for his special people, that they would be a light to the nations. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the light of the world. Out of Egypt I called my son. And so Jesus and his family come back and they settle in the town of Nazareth, and Jesus grows up there. Presumably he followed the trade of his dad, Joseph, the carpenter. And so he grew up learning that trade, and then he began his ministry at the age of 30, speaking the truth about who he was and the truth about who we are. We need a good shepherd. We are lost without Jesus, the good shepherd. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh probably helped Joseph and Mary in their transition to a foreign country. They were refugees. Do you understand that? Refugees. And there they landed up in the land of Egypt, and God had provided for them with these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, before they were able to establish themselves in that land. God is a God of provision. God is providing for you. Everything that you have here, we acknowledge the fact that it comes from the Lord. Nothing that we have is by our own strength, our own will, our own purpose. Yes, we collaborate with God. We work. Yes, we're not just going to sit around and wait for good things to happen. God feeds the birds of the air, okay? But he doesn't throw the worms in the nest. We have to go out. We have to work. We have a call in our lives. For we are his workmanship, created for good work, which he has prepared for us in advance. You have good work as a veterinarian. You have good work in whatever it is that you do as a teacher, wherever you are as a musician. God has a special call in your life. And my prayer for you in 2021 is that you would really, even with greater clarity, see how God is using you to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to reflect the light of Jesus wherever you go. It is my hope and it is my deep desire that we at Providence Church could be a community of God's people that would encourage you, that would challenge you, that we would call you to a greater fulfillment of your calling. God wants you to give the gifts that he has given to you back to him. Whatever that gift is. And some of you have many gifts, and some maybe you feel like you have fewer gifts. Every one of us in the body of Christ is absolutely indispensable. We are the body of Christ. And as we celebrate now communion, we recognize the significance of our oneness in the Lord and our oneness with one another. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture of Gentiles coming to worship the King. And Lord, we desire now in our generation to come bearing gifts, worshiping you with great and exceeding joy. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.